Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, We're Drunk on Theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and nowadays, when you've got the hot honey rag, raise me up. Just be a Dreamgirls reprise, lover, on Sunday and make that roses turn, because this isn't just a fable, but a way to get more, more, more. Being alive isn't just for now. It's one megamix after another of It's Time to Dance, and we raise our cups. Only in the movies do we feel like opening up and not raining on my parade. Reprise. Finale. Joining us today are the usual proud Marys, including Kevin, the final scene, Jaeger.
Ooh, I got like a really dark one. I like it.
Kimberly, our 42nd Street Game Master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes.
And with us today is something very exciting. Let's give, and a first for Broad Wasted, let's give a big Broad Wasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
The season two finale.
Finale.
Yeah, we've never done a season two finale before.
And we never will again.
That's technically true.
Yes, it absolutely is true.
Yeah.
But let's start with, what are you drinking? Kimberly, what are you drinking?
You know, two seasons in, I forgot, and I have water. I literally was earlier went, oh, I have to make myself a drink. And then I just poured myself a glass of water. And I think that tells you how old I am and how long we've been doing this.
I know, for sure.
I'll chug this and put some whiskey in this cup.
Sounds great. Kevin, what are you drinking?
I have some whiskey on the rocks, which I left on my counter. So I'm going to get it in a minute.
Awesome. I actually also have whiskey, but I put in a little bit of lime seltzer.
Delish. Seltzer awesome. Into the whiskey, not whiskey into the lime?
It's in a glass, and I put the whiskey in, and then I put the other stuff in, the seltzer in.
Opposite day for Brian Fox.
I know. It's a finale, baby. Wow, 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 wow.
Here we are.
Okay, so we've got some really, really fun and exciting stuff planned for this finale. But first, before we do anything, I'm going to send it to Kimberly, Kevin, and Brian at the Flatiron Room. Let's hear from them. What are you up to, Brian, Kimberly, and Kevin?
Yeah, how was it being past us?
Yeah.
Take it away.
Thanks, Brian. Here we are at the Flatiron Room in Chelsea. We're on 26th Street. And we let's just straight up start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
All right, we are drinking.
Oh, we're about to drink.
So this is so smoky.
Yeah, so we are drinking the smoking old fashioned. They came over and with cedar planks on the top of our drink that were trapping the actual smoke. And now we're about to try these for the first time.
I just want to call out that also the orange peel is branded.
Like Flatiron Room branded?
Yeah, look at it.
Inside.
Whoa. That's super cool.
This is extremely fancy. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers. I'm so obsessed with this.
Oh, man. Right. That's an ASMR for you.
That is so good.
Yeah, I drank in some of the smoke.
Me too.
So it was an experience. Yeah.
It was really, this is really good.
I was nervous. Was it cool with the smoke?
Yeah, this is cool. I love smoky drinks. Also,
I love smoky drinks.
So we're in the Flatiron Room. This is in Chelsea. It's kind of like, so remember when we went to the Fine and Rare?
Yes.
We recorded there. It's the same owner, Tommy Tardy. And so we are here and we have some food coming. We're going to try some of this food, but this feels very much it's like a supper club vibe.
Yes.
It feels like an old school speakeasy.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'm staring this at just delicious. Like a wall full of caged whiskey bottles and
Thank
a stage.
So
and so I love it here.
So there's a full stage. What's also super cool about this is that you can actually buy a bottle of whiskey. This is like known for their whiskey as well as Fine and Rare. But this place is known for the whiskey. You can actually buy a bottle of whiskey and house it here. So like anytime you come here.
You mean like
here,
drink it really fast? Like
you can house it.
House it.
I mean, you probably could do that.
Literally,
too.
Yeah. Like college Kevin was like, how's that whiskey?
Yeah. They actually, you can tape them to your hands.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Edward 40 hands
with
very expensive whiskey.
Yeah.
Please do not do
don't
that.
Don't
ever do that. Literally don't do that. Or actually don't do that anywhere.
Fancily keep your whiskey behind a bar so no one else can drink it.
That's
just
so
for
cool.
You when you get
That's
here.
Super cool, right?
Yeah, that really
Other
like
places
adds,
should do that with other things.
That
but,
adds like the feel of like it being like a special place for you. Like you literally house something that's precious, like precious.
What
to
if you brought a first date here and like you brought down your bottle for them?
That's a classy move.
Classy. Were you going to say not classy move?
No, I was going to say very classy move.
You had to introduce who's here.
Yeah.
Jamie's here, guys.
Yeah, so my fiancé Jamie is here.
Hi, I'm the fiancé Jamie.
And
I'm here.
Yes, so we're all here because this is our pre...
So should we call her Jamie the fiancé instead of the fiancé Jamie so that she has an identity and then a, like, subjugation?
Yeah, and we can change it to...
Thank you for humanizing.
You could also just call her Jamie.
No, interesting.
Oh, interesting. I never thought about that.
But we are here for pre-dinner drinks. We're going to see Company straight from here. And this is actually an awesome... This is, first of all, this place is super cool. Second of all, it's not far enough away that you could totally access this place, get drinks here, and then head over to the theater district. Or this is a very, very cool spot for after-show drinks.
Yeah.
Especially the vibe. You used to get... They have two bands that play usually. And they have the full stage, so you can actually like, come and see a little show and have food afterwards.
And for those of you who are New York City savvy, this is a very close location to the 1-2 train, as well as the NQRW. And so it gives
Kevin,
you...
How did you get here?
I ended up getting the 1.
Okay.
Oh, that's what we did.
Yeah. So you can take the 1. It's very accessible to the trains that take you straight back to the theater district.
Yeah.
So this would be a really great place to come before or after a show.
But this place is super cool. Again, 37 West 26th Street. It's between 5th and 6th.
That's interesting. 37 West 26th. You can remember. 37, 26. Like it's like 11 down. Remember that.
Is that a math joke that I just don't get?
No, I was just going to do a jingle and
then it fell
apart into a math.
Yeah.
I just realized that there's food in front of us and we aren't
cool.
eating it.
So let's eat some of this food. We have a mac and cheese. We have a shishito peppers.
Let's see what we really have. Let's get to this menu and get their names
out
there.
I would say I'm very scared of spicy foods, but I hear the shishito peppers, like 1 in 10 of them are spicy.
So we're going to take a chance.
Can someone eat all of them first?
The TFR, which is the Flatiron Room. Triple mac and cheese. And then we also have the 3 picadillas. Picadillas? How do I say it? Picadillas?
Yeah, keep going.
Picadillas. We have a crispy pork belly. There's
See, you don't have to be refined to come
American
here.
American Wagyu. There's short rib. There's house-made tortillas.
Oh, yeah.
Tomatillo sauce.
No.
And Monterey Jack. and cheddar.
Beautiful.
Is it a picadilla? Is that right?
Picadita.
Mm, there it is.
That's cute.
That was nice. Yeah.
So we had to access Jamie's Puerto Rican side?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
But this looks delicious, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, let's dig in.
Yeah.
Oh, this is delicious.
Everything's great. Thank you so
much.
Oh, we have some music. That's Miss Mabel and Charlie Judkins playing behind us on the stage.
I love coming to these kind of places in New York because, like, you discover someone that you literally might not have ever heard perform, and in that night, like, they become something special to you from that experience. So you might not even remember
their
name later.
That's how Kevin and I met.
It's exactly how we met. But yeah, it's a really cool thing to be able to hear live music in the city, especially those people who love Broadway. Like, it's a chance to hear different styles of music.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, really celebrate, like, the energy of New York that's not just Broadway.
This place is super cool. So we're eating the mac and cheese right now. It's a little spicy, has a kick to it. It's really good.
It's really good, and the Brussels sprouts are really nice.
Found a spicy shishito pepper.
No. So while Kimberly is de-spicing herself, so we're recording this in November. What have you seen so far? What have you seen this year?
Or since September.
So my first show I saw was Waitress with Sarah Bareilles, which was incredible. I was facing Kimberly and I got to see Diana.
We did last
week. Which was a hoot.
Oh, what's that?
I got to see Trevor, the musical off Broadway.
Mm. Did you like that?
Which is really sweet. It was a nice, like, sweet, well-performed little kid musical.
Sure.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean there's a lot of little kids on stage, so it's a little kid musical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of your favorite things.
Usually not a big fan of it. Like,
these picadillas are spectacular. The pork belly one was really good.
The short rib one
was
chef's kiss.
Yeah.
But you know places good when they give you very big, singular ice cubes.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say very big chunks of meat. I was like,
I thought
you
were going to say very big glasses.
In what?
I thought you were going to say very big cups.
But still.
Yeah.
It means they fill it more.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, going back to what we've seen.
Oh, I was going to say that in the summer before Broadway came back, I was in St. Louis with Jay's family, and we saw my first ever show at the Muni.
Oh, what did you see?
On Your Feet.
Oh my God, that sounds like so much fun at the Muni.
It actually was. We got on our feet. The Muni is like the biggest place in the world.
It's humongous.
It's huge.
Have you been there?
It's so cool.
You know what I was reading about it? Like, and it's just... the biggest.
No, it just goes on and on. Like, I looked at where our seats were and I was like, are these good seats? Like, I don't know the scale of which this seating chart is.
Sure, sure.
And they're very far away. Oh, yeah. But they were, like, perfect. And if you're far enough away, you can rent binoculars.
Wow.
Although wait, really?
Actually, I don't think you can rent binoculars right now. I think you have to bring your own because...
That's still pretty cool.
Communal binoculars sounds like a bad idea at the moment.
I totally forgot that you did that. That's so cool. Was that your first theater experience, like, back?
Mm-hmm.
What a... And was full?
Full.
Wow.
Outside, so I felt really comfortable.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, the two main characters that played Gloria and Emilio Estevan.
Are we thinking Emilio Estevez, or is it actually Emilio?
It's actually Emilio.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I was about to call him Paolo, so...
But that was... I think Paolo was the actor who played it.
That could be. But they're married, so I didn't feel weird when they kissed.
Oh!
Because, like, COVID reasons.
That's super cool.
Is there COVID allowed to kiss?
Yeah.
COVID allowed.
So the Muni stage is, like, so huge that I felt very comfortable for all of those actors. And the two actors that had to kiss all the time were married. And I was like, they're kissing anyway.
I think they made that decision on purpose.
Absolutely.
Jamie and I saw... Little Shop of Horrors.
Right.
And
me too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which was...
Wait, I'm an odd man out over here.
Which was spectacular. And then...
It feels right to this off-Broadway. I just honestly...
Agree.
Like,
yeah.
Seeing the show at a smaller scale like that, it just feels right.
Oh, and then we all also saw
Carolina
Change.
Yeah.
Oh, and Hamilton. But not in New York.
We saw Philadelphia Hamilton.
And Jacksonville Hamilton.
Jacksonville Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which was
The same Hamilton. Well, technically a different Hamilton because we saw an understudy.
Fair, true.
Yes. It was amazing. He was excellent.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
But we saw friends of the show, Nikisha Williams and Aaron J. Albano, doing, yep, killing it.
And Demarius.
And Demarius.
And Demarius, friend of the show.
And Stephanie J. Park.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was like a pretty stacked roster on stage. Like for us as friends.
Yeah. That's all we care about.
Yeah. Friendship.
Yeah.
Friendship and magic.
Tonight we're seeing Company, and then tomorrow...
Which is exciting because Brian and I were supposed to see Company the night that Broadway shut down.
That's right.
I saw invited dress rehearsal, I have already seen
Kevin. Kevin gave his invited dress tickets to Kimberly.
Right.
Because we were going, because we were
the
next week.
The next week, so I was like, you can go because we're going to see it. And
now you are.
How mad were you about that?
I was mad about that for literally a year and a half. But now that we're going, I feel a lot better.
And
I just
remedied tonight.
I want to see Matt Doyle's amazing performance that could get him Tony nominated for this season.
Who?
Listen, if it's as good as it was 19 months ago,
sure,
it'll be amazing.
Who here has seen Company before?
I mean, me. I saw this production.
Oh my gosh, that was so dumb. So dumb.
It's old fashioned. That's really good.
I know. I don't know what glooms and pasta.
I saw a production company at the Alhambra Dinner Theater in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, sure.
It's the only equity theater in Jacksonville. I mean, besides like where like, the Broadway tours come in, but I mean like the only equity like regional theater.
Right.
So I saw Company there. A couple of my friends, and like right when I graduated from college, were in it. So I saw that, and then I've seen the DVD of the one with Raul Esparza.
I've seen that one.
And I think
I've
seen
every filmed
version.
Neil
Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I saw the one with him, and I also this is like not the last experience I had with Company was actually from Marriage Story.
I refuse to watch that film.
Where he sings Being Alive.
Adam Driver sings Being Alive, and it's spectacular. We also watched Tick, Tick, Boom last night, so we're in a very, like, age, birthday, existential crisis mode right now.
It's really hitting me hard.
And then tomorrow we're seeing Doubtfire with Rob McClure.
And friend of the show, Jed Gametis.
And friend of the show, Brad Oscar.
And friend of the show, Cameron Adams.
Yeah. Oh, we got a lot of friends of the shows in these shows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of friends. A lot of shows.
Lots of shows.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Would you just turn the wagon up?
Did Mark Evans come back in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Friends of the show, Mark Evans?
Yeah. We know the whole cast.
Gosh, we're at a point where I forget that I know people. And because we've been on Zoom for so long,
sure,
I sometimes truly forget that I've met people.
Totally.
And then I'm like, oh, I love her. Like Beth Level the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I love Beth Level. And I was like, I've seen her office.
Yeah.
She spoke to me.
Yeah. That was
you
a
guys
fun
need
episode.
This feels like a great place to ring in the new year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hold on, let me show you.
That meat was so good.
Sounding your face.
That meat was.
That was amazing. You need to come here. I mean, we will be back. This was really good. Every year,
do you
we
play
play
our favorite,
favorite
game?
Game.
Kimberly? I have a part one because we're recording again in the future. Hey, future. But just our favorite game of, was that this year? And so I'm just going to read off some facts and see how long you think a year is.
This is going to be really hard.
The past like 2 years are just like all the same? Or
this
like, was it yesterday?
Been, like, what, 600 days? 700?
Something like that. All right, first.
Okay, if we miss more than three of them, Brian and Jamie can't get married.
All right, I'm going to give you hints.
I'm trying to add the stakes.
Also, the fact that the bell happened at the time that we said that means that it's probably, we have to follow
this.
All right, it's fate. All right, was that this year? Brian and Jamie moved to Philadelphia.
We can't answer. This is for Kevin?
This is for Kevin,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that was this year. This happened in January.
That is correct.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks for knowing.
Yeah, girl. And I don't want you to not get married, so I'm answering correctly.
Stakes are high.
Next, one of the largest of the streaming musicals of the past couple years, Ratatouille the Musical, streamed live with Andre Deschamps.
That's false. That was 2020.
That was like September or October.
Jamie?
I believe what they said.
That was also January 2021.
No.
Yeah.
How long is this year? How short is this year? I don't know.
It was like January 5th, to be clear.
Still, you tricked us. But that's the point of this game.
All right. Next fun fact, the 2019-2020 Tony Awards. Was that this year?
Yes, that was this year.
That happened like a couple months ago.
Correct, that happened in 2021.
Okay. Woo! Good question.
The movie The Prom debuted on Netflix. Was that this year?
No, that was fall of last year. Correct. We watched it in the old apartment.
In the Florida.
Oh, you have too much of a good marker in your memory.
Yes, I watched it in Florida, and I was there from November.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That is correct. It was December 2020.
December. I've heard of it.
Cool. Hamilton was released on Disney Plus. Was that this year?
No, that was last year because we watched it on July 4th at Ithaca.
Yeah, and now we did that trip in 2020.
Yes, it was for the they did it for the pandemic.
Yeah, it was when I was living at the beach.
Oh, sure.
Pandemic present.
We launched season 2 of Broadwasted after 200 plus episodes of season 1.
Yes.
That was this year.
Yeah. We talked about it a lot last year. But
we did.
It happened this year in September.
Cool.
August.
We know
our own show.
Yeah.
Yeah, late August, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
August 14th.
All right, and the last one I wrote down before I stopped writing things down. The Amazon original Cinderella musical.
Oh, I'll never forget it. This was this year.
Yeah,
no question.
That was indeed this year, and that pretty much sums up 2021, guys.
Yeah, that was.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Good memories. Kevin just cheers to the dip. And if that doesn't tell you something about Kevin.
I was going to do it as a joke, but that's not even a good joke.
You can't do visual gags on a podcast.
That smoking old fashioned was smoking.
That was so good.
Smoke it.
No, but you have to do it like the mask.
Smoking.
I was pretty good.
I was in the Jim Carrey fan club growing up.
Wait, Brian, were you a fan? Like you, it seems like The Mask was like one of your top 10 movies growing up.
100%.
It was mine too.
Did you learn one of the scenes?
Yeah, for my
college auditions.
No.
Like first grade.
For my fifth grade talent show, I did the I did the full Cuban Pete number in front of the whole school.
No.
Yes, I did.
Is there a video?
I'm sure there is.
Jill, send it to me.
Oh. Should we text?
No.
No, I won't stop.
But that's true. I love The Mask. And during the pandemic, when I was allowed to say, I'm just looking for my mask, was a very great thing.
Yeah, you still say it.
I still say it. The Mask is a great film.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Like, The Mask and The Santa Claus just is my childhood.
What about The Son of the Mask?
No, that Jamie Kennedy film?
Absolutely not.
Although I do like that name. That's a good name.
Son of the Mask?
No, Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why he had his own show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Kennedy.
Experiment.
Yeah. He's also my favorite part of the Scream movies.
Yes.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Because that's like the meta.
Because he gives the rules, and we like the rules.
Oh, my gosh. There's nothing better than rules in a movie.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's such a bad death, though. In the middle of it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, in the movie.
In the movie, I was like, what happened to Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah. Well, his career.
He gets sucked into the van.
They grab him, pull him the van,
and you don't
like
see him. You see
like the middle of the van, and like
just like shaking. The van's just like shaking.
Yeah.
The blood stripping out.
But while we're here, you should check out Talking Horror with Jamie and Nikisha, where they watch horror movies from the perspective of human behavior as well as mental health. It's really good. We do a lot of great stuff on there, so check it out.
Yeah.
Talking
should
Horror.
Should we?
Because we are going to do Scream 5.
Yeah, in January. Oh, in like a couple of weeks, we're doing Scream 5.
I love Scream.
So check it out.
Should we hire Jamie occasionally if there's a musical that deals with some mental health dilemmas?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
You come on?
Company is perfect.
I was going to say, the show we're seeing tonight.
I don't know anything about it. I'm very much like I don't like to like read or listen to the music before I see something.
So this show is
not
like an army company?
No.
And
do not listen to what Kevin thinks shows are about.
Futuristic war with aliens.
I feel like you're lying to me right now.
But the song Being Alive is all about like defeating the aliens and being the last human.
Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, Mrs. Doubtfire tomorrow is also probably a good mental health one.
I think maybe everything. How did you feel about Tick, Tick, Boom from a therapy perspective?
Oh, good question.
I mean, like... The pressure, I have to talk way louder because I'm a very quiet person. It's the therapist in me. I mean, like,
keep it confidential.
The pressure to, like, be successful, the relationship stuff that was coming up, the, like, pressure to accomplish you know, fill in the blank by X age to, like, feel like your career is like, connecting with your passions and all of that, I think, like, really probably resonates with, like, most people. I mean, I think, like, obviously beyond folks where they are creative people, like, it resonated with me, and I was like, oh my god, like, what is my life? I don't know what I'm doing.
Sure.
I think, like, those themes are, like, really...
So we were just served the morning dram, and this is barrel-aged coffee that is actually by the owners, Tommy Tardy and his wife, Davey. And so this is, we're going to be trying the morning dram, which is one of their specialty cocktails.
I want to be very clear. I do not drink coffee. I do not like coffee. This drink is delicious.
This is also, yeah, I don't drink coffee either. Sometimes I'll have, like, an espresso drink, but, like,
oh,
this
right.
is so
with the
good.
Same person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does Kimberly drink coffee?
Every single morning, a lot of it.
So do you like this?
This is delicious. If I could start my day with this every morning, I would. Or end my day. This is delightful.
I'm also really...
I love, like, an after... dinner espresso. One of the most delicious things I've had in a really long time. Us coffee drinkers over here. I had a venti Starbucks this morning with my favorite holiday toffee nut syrup. Just a little bit because I can't do too sweets. But this is my
really
my new favorite thing.
It's a medium roast, which those are my favorite roasts. Not something like super light, but not
flavor
like
notes, caramel,
light.
Corn, my favorite thing.
Toasted marshmallow.
My favorite roasts are the Comedy Central ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Ryan, get out.
Oh, Get Out, a great film that we talk about on Talking Horror. But any last thoughts about the Flatiron Room?
Those of you who are listening who come to New York often but are not New Yorkers, be brave. Go below 34th Street and you'll find some really cool things.
Miracle,
and like,
yeah, you'll find a miracle.
Don't just, like, I feel like a lot of times tourists jump from 34th Street all the way down to, like, the end of the one train to go to, like, One World Observatory. But, like, definitely stop in this little, like, Flatiron area and check out the Flatiron Room.
No, yeah, this has all been a lovely experience. I'm having a grand time.
Yeah. Don't bother me. I'm drinking my espresso martini.
Yeah. This place is awesome. This vibe is very cool. Again, this is the Flatiron Room. Same ownership as Fine and Rare that you've heard us at before. Flatiron Room, though, is on 37 West 26th Street. That's between 5th and 6th.
Remember my jingle.
Remember?
37, 26.
Tonight we had the Smoking Old Fashioned and the Morning Dram. Next year is actually this place's 10-year anniversary. They're going to be doing some really cool stuff, so stay tuned. They're Tiversary. So stay tuned. I mean, again,
wait,
this is like...
Wait, stay tuned for their 10th anniversary?
Well, for the things that are happening. For this, yeah, yes, you know, stay tuned. Yeah, yeah. They're deciding what year. But they're gonna, so it's a super cool supper club. We're having a great time. It feels like a speakeasy. Also, the entrance is very speakeasy because there are doors. You can't see right into it. It feels like a storefront in a way. It's super, super cool. Again, Morning Dram is that coffee drink that we're drinking right now, as well as the coffee that's barrel aged. And the food was incredible. The drinks were amazing. So, you know, even though this isn't the end of this episode, let's do a little Zoodoo-wop bomb, yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you so much to the Flatiron Room. We really appreciate you having us. And as we end every...
Can we say it like we're like back in this old time?
The
like 20s? Jazz age?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me give you a little joke that I probably told on this podcast before.
Jamie knows it's coming.
Why did the optometrist become a 1920s gangster?
Why?
Because he wanted to help people, see?
That's all I wanted is all those things.
Zoodoo-wop-bomb, see?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Wow, thank you so much, Brian, Kimberly, and Kevin. It sounds like you had
a
great time.
You guys are so cool.
You guys really, really seem to enjoy the Flatiron Room. Again, the Flatiron Room is on West 26th Street in New York City. It's a really great option for pre or post dinner drinks. You can get, the food was incredible. The drinks were awesome. We had a wonderful time. Definitely check it out. Again, the Flatiron Room, super, super awesome.
Why is it that Brian, Kevin, and Kimberly get to do all the cool stuff and we have to stay here and record on Zoom?
Well, because we're the anchors of the finale, and you know that I understand what you're saying, but like the importance of what we're doing in this finale just can't be overlooked.
Right, because my drink is not smoky.
Oh my gosh, that drink was so good. Or I assume that drink was good.
Dreaming about the coffee martini.
Oh,
I mean, I dreamt it, and then we had it there in the future.
Some might say you dreamed a dream. You dreamed a dream.
Time is a wheel.
Journey to the past, future.
But I do remember that Brian, Kevin, and Kimberly did play part one of Did That Happen This Year. So I think it's time for us to play a little game, Kimberly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely. This game is called Was That This Year? And we play it every year. Again, how you play is I'm going to say something and you tell me if it happened this year.
Okay, cool.
It's a silly game. Here we go.
Don't understand.
In the Heights won our March Madness bracket to watch at the library. Was that this year?
No.
That happened at the end, that was our March Madness of 2020.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Because this year,
I can't believe that we saw the film version before we saw the library version.
We still haven't seen the library version, and we and we even did 2021's winner, The Sound of Music, before we even did the other one or even watched it.
Whoa!
Yes, The Sound of Music won our March Madness bracket. Was that this year?
It was this year.
It was
this year.
Colin Donnell was our guest at BroadwayCon.
False. That was 2020. That was like right before the pandemic.
Correct.
Right before the pandemic.
We Zoomed with Colin Donnell for his second full-length episode. Was that this year?
False. That was in the fall of 2020.
Kevin, a guess?
That's correct.
Correct, that is in the fall of 2020?
Yes.
Correct. October of 2020.
Okay.
Yes. That album was great. His album that we were promoting. Yeah, it was really good.
We didn't record an album with Colin Donnell.
Yeah, you remember we cut a full album in the pandemic and the first song was like, Let's Dance.
Yeah.
How did it go?
Let's dance. Everybody in a pandemic, let's dance. Dance from your home on Zoom, let's dance. You remember that tune?
It was experimental.
Yeah, it was a banger.
Yeah.
It was an experimental banger.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best ones are.
It was one of those where you like bang your head and then you stop and are like it's a bang. What? Bang. What?
Yeah.
Quick banger. Next, we launched a TeePublic merch site. Was that this year?
Yes. that was this year because of tax purposes. It was this year, not next year, not last year, I think.
Kevin?
That was last year.
That was last year.
Oh, maybe I did it last year for tax purposes.
Taxes be damned.
Yeah, you know what? Forget the man. We're doing whatever we want.
Definitely, like, we talk about these things like we're business people.
Yeah, we are business people. We're businessy. I couldn't think of a joke. I just couldn't. I really couldn't. I couldn't at all.
We appreciated the effort.
Yeah, thank you. I don't think I put any effort into that.
Y'all. It's been a crazy season. You've done.
I know.
Yeah, it's been a whole season. We did it all today.
And the world started again.
Yeah. We recorded this whole season today, and this is the finale.
That's how podcasts work, everyone.
Yeah, totally.
In case you didn't know. All right, was this year? Megan Picerno and John Riddle, stars of the last Broadway show that Brian and I saw pre-shutdown, came on for a Zoom episode to talk about their time at home.
False.
That was fall of last year, because everything feels like it was fall of last year.
I'm going to say yes to Kevin.
I don't think it was fall. I feel like it might have been, maybe it was fall.
But it was last year?
It was last year, because I was in my old apartment.
Okay, cool.
But some of that, like, early stuff, I could just go through a list of everyone we had on and be like, when was this?
Yeah, that was.
It all just feels like time soup. Somewhere in the past.
Good soup.
But when, I don't know.
In the primordial soup of time.
We could do some soup ASMR.
I'd rather we didn't.
Okay, I'll stop. I'm so sorry. It's just soupy business.
Can That's it,
this
Brian.
Year, we recorded our 300th episode. Was that this year?
Yes, true. Because it was in season 2.
Yes, it was. Everyone here has listened, correct?
Yeah.
We hope so. We recorded the radio play completely remotely for the first time.
False. That was last year. It was last year's radio play.
That was last year. But we did it again. So
yeah.
We did.
That's why I added the first time. Because I was like, oh, then it's a trick. Her and Elphaba, Jenny DeNoia, joined us for a virtual glass of red wine. Is that this year?
I adore her, and I want to say yes. I think that was like February.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
No.
Oh.
November 2020.
It was last fall!
Yeah, when in doubt, just last fall.
Welcome to How I Make Up This Game is I just do everything exactly 1 year ago, and you all think that it was this year, but it was secretly 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that... As if it was in November, like, who could have been January? Who knows?
Yeah.
And last but not least, resumed with the legendary Beth Level.
Oh. Was that? I'm going to say it was fall of last year.
Yeah, I'll go with that. No, I'm going to go different and say it was spring of this year.
Kevin is correct.
Oh, nice.
Yes!
Spring of this year.
Oh, right, because they were promoting those shows with like Danny Gardner and I remember. Yeah, totally.
Were they the 50 Fall Below shows?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
I thought they were on Zoom live stream.
Were they 54 Below from Zoom? No.
I honestly don't remember.
But I don't think it was 54 Below.
It wasn't 54. I'm making that up. But she did a 54 Cabaret that, like, during pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or did I make that up? You never know.
I don't know.
Was that this year? Who knows? Anyway, that was the whole game. Was that this year?
That was really... This year was harder than ever.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I would agree. Because, like... Also, I kept thinking that things were like 2 years ago, and I was like, that's too easy because that was 2 years ago. But no, they were 1 year ago.
Yep.
It's just all so much.
Yeah.
You're right, Yanni McGee?
What'd you say?
Mm-hmm.
You're right, Yanni McGee?
Yeah, it's like, we recorded the whole entire season today. Of course I'm going to be tired.
That's why we recorded all of season one in one day, too, and it took so long.
So
and we didn't know who any of the guests were until they literally walked in the door.
Yeah, it was wild.
Wait, we should do that one day, like surprise Brian, like you and I just pick a guest.
Oh, that would actually be kind of fun. I would do that.
Or guest roulette.
And then he'd have to make up an intro on the spot as though he knew they were coming the whole time.
Woof.
I'm obsessed with this.
All right.
Okay.
Season three. Bebe.
Season three. Write it in.
Or
put it in the books.
Maybe we'll do that live and y'all should pay attention. We might do that live when the world's coming back.
Oh, that's a good idea.
As well. Yeah. That's to be all in one room?
Oh, yeah, to be all in one room.
My computer made a noise.
Do a like an improv Broad Wasted episode, but like also be drinking heavily.
That seems like a terrible idea, so I'm in.
All of you who agree with me, at Brian and tell him he's silly. Don't say anything super mean, but just tell him he's silly.
Yeah. But we did. So the exciting thing about this year is we got to see shows. What were some of the things that you saw that you loved?
I got to see Sarah Bareilles and Waitress in the remountal of Waitress.
The remountal.
And it was incredible because it was like 3 days after they opened and seeing an entire cast of a show where every single person is so on point, focused, talented and excited to be there, like as if like kids and like you can't, I'll never see that again on one stage without it being like the opening night of a show. Like, you know what I mean? You'll never get to see again like people doing a show they got to do for years on Broadway, but are so excited to do again just because it was right after pandemic. So that experience was super duper amazing for me and I will remember that a lot. For sure.
Great. Kimberly, was there one that stood out to you?
I just liked seeing shows because I cried through all of them. like Carolina Change was so fun because to see a show that I didn't know.
Sure.
And then Doubtfire to see a brand new show that nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go back and see Hamilton in Philadelphia, but our friends were there.
That was super cool to see him.
And I was like, had I seen this tour pre-pandemic or if no pandemic had happened, I'd be like, Nakisha Williams, who's she?
Sure.
It's true.
And yet, our friends were there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I loved all those. Speaking of friends, I liked seeing friend of the show, Jeremy Jordan, in Little Shop. But
he was great.
I think some of the one I liked is when we saw Company. I thought it was fun to see that high concept of a show and truthfully Company is my favorite to watch because we all saw it together and we had some really excellent conversations about did the gender swap work? Did the updating of it work? What does not work as well because it's 2021 and not 1970 something I enjoyed seeing it, enjoying it, and then being able to talk about it in like a very like open, non-judgmental setting was probably my favorite thing thus far, for sure.
That's like the number one thing we all missed about going to the theater was like hanging out after and like discussing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that and being said,
it was a beautiful like production all the way around. The cast is fantastic. And it just felt like a real Saturday night on Broadway. And I think that's what we all missed a lot was just that experience of Saturday night on Broadway. And I just missed that so much. So to get that back was so great.
Absolutely.
Kevin, are you saying that our Saturday night on Broadway spent at Diana was not a real Saturday night on Broadway?
What was?
Our Saturday night at Diana.
Oh, that was a night at the theater that will live forever in the halls of my memory. It was so fun. And
we had a great time. That was our first Saturday night back. And we were like, wait, what is like waiting for a table at a restaurant? What is going to the theater a little drunk?
And I will carry that playbill with pride. It's going to end up in my playbill collection up there for sure.
So we were talking about Company just a moment ago, and of course we all know that our industry took a huge hit when Sondheim passed away recently. So, you know, you've read all the tributes, you've seen everything, his songs and his shows are going to live forever. His name will never really die because they say what they say, you know, someone dies twice, the moment their body dies and the last time someone says their name, and like, we're never going to stop saying his name. So, to honor him, I thought we'd just talk about, you know, the things of his that he created, or even just like personal anecdotes or whatever the case may be, that are going to last forever with you, that are going to, that influence you, are going to impact you, whether it is a lyric in a show or whether it's something totally different that you just won't think about, or you'll never stop thinking about. I'm happy to start. For some reason, when I think of Sondheim, obviously I think of the shows, I think of that, but the personalization he took with everything, specifically the letters, writing everyone back. I remember a long time ago when people would tell Sondheim stories, they'd be like, yeah, I wrote him and he wrote me back. And like my, in my head, knowing what celebrity is like, what you assume celebrity is like, especially at the level of he was at or is at, it just boggled my mind that he would like write people back. And like, what do you mean? Like you wrote to Sondheim and like he sent you a letter back. And now I'm obsessed with the Instagram, the Sondheim letters, and just like seeing the amount, the massive amount of letters that he just wrote back to people with real answers that are deeply articulate and incredible and sharing information. I feel like nowadays, like the information shared in those letters would be like the marketing team or his PR team would be like, no, you can't share what you're writing now. We need to like market. Like there's just something pretty magical about that. And his ability to like really care and respond to your enthusiasm. I think that this showed his love for both theater and theater people. And his willingness to just kind of interact with people. And so that's something I'll remember. I just think that's really special. And I think that is also in his shows, you can kind of feel that like wanting to know people and ask questions and try and give answers that are not supposed to be universal, that are very specific answers to those people or that situation. So that's something that I will definitely remember and take with me in terms of my memory of him as an artist and as a man.
Yeah, I'll jump off of that real quick and just say, kind of like veering off of what you were saying, I think Sondheim has always been important to all of us. He was he's one of my biggest inspirations as a writer. One of the best compliments I ever got was when my show was a Nymph, and one of the reviewers said that one of the songs was Sondheimian in its lyrics, and that like made me die for like 2 days. So I think what I really love about him, and that I'll always remember and take with me, is a lot of it's encapsulated in the documentary Six by Sondheim. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going off what Brian said, like he was such an open person that like every moment he was being interviewed, every moment he was like out there in front of a camera, he was using it as a teaching moment. And he's so intimate and wise in his like Gandalf kind of way that I feel like he was like the grandfather to all of us as theater kids, and he knew that and accepted that responsibility. And I think not only is it in what he said in his speeches and how he, it almost feels like if you watch Six by Sondheim that you're like being mentored by Sondheim about like how to get through this business, at least I feel that as a writer when I watch that, because it feels like he's looking into the camera like talking to us. But I think his work shows that as well, that he understood scared, like emotionally fragile theater kids like nobody else. And so even though his stories are universal and touch people of like all different types, like his lyrics and his certain characters like speak specifically to us as a group of young, scared, emotionally fragile theater people, and just like really lift us up and like show us the path to get to where you're trying to go. And I think that's really beautiful that we still have that now, these maps through his words and his teachings to like figure out how to be the artist we all want to be.
Beautiful.
Sondheim the teacher is kind of where I was going to go with it too, just from like reading anything about him, the way he speaks of Oscar Hammerstein II, I think is how a lot of people will talk about Sondheim. And so sort of the growing family tree of Broadway lyricists and composers, I think is going to be a fun thing to watch forever, because you can always relate back to the past.
Yeah.
And I think everyone writing right now at some point was inspired by Sondheim, who was deeply inspired by Hammerstein, and then just building it back to just the American art form that is musical theater.
Mm-hmm. All right, pick one show. Go. You can only pick one.
Merrily.
Kevin.
You asshole. Into the Woods.
Cool. I guess I'll pick a Funny Thing. Cool. We'll pour it out for him for sure every time.
Yeah, I was in a bar when Kevin texted me the news.
Mm.
And Jay and I just immediately ordered another round and cried.
It was so cathartic.
In a bar where clearly nobody else knew what was happening. We weren't in New York. It was over Thanksgiving. We were in Cape May, New Jersey, and we were just like sad sacks sitting at this bar. It was weird that we were just like, everyone should be this sad.
Yeah, I was so devastated, but it felt like I like couldn't express it because I was at home for Thanksgiving with my family. And like, I told all of them, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I know you really loved him. But like, he was 91 or 93. So like, he lived a great life. And I was like, yeah, but like, it just felt different because like, they didn't have the connection like that. Like, I wanted to be with theater people. I wanted to be in New York. And I will never forget getting up. So I got off the plane on Monday after the Thanksgiving weekend. And as soon as I got off the plane, I got like dropped my stuff and ended up going straight to Robbie Rozelle's concert at Birdland.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a moment where like he spoke about Sondheim and we all kind of like had that communal. Kimberly was there too. We went together.
I was.
With friend of the show, Alana Levine. And he just spoke about it and we had a communal moment and then he sang a Sondheim song and I just like wept, like hard weeping. And it was just so cathartic to finally let go of like all of that emotion I felt for the loss of Sondheim and just what that means to all of us as a group, as a whole, and what it means to me personally, the way it does to everyone else who loved him and felt like they knew him through everything. So it was just really beautiful to like experience that in New York and kind of openly grieve with everybody in such a cathartic way.
Sure. Do you know what else is cathartic?
I don't know what.
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
Kevin's Corner.
Okay. So welcome to Kevin's Corner. And you guys, like, this is our finale and we're really excited about it. And it's happening at the end of the year of the end of 2021. So I thought, why don't we play a fun game where I bring up things and from my past and we try to figure out if that happened when I was 20 or 21 or if it happened before or after. So Kimberly and Brian, you're going to say 2021 if you think it was either 20 or 21 years old when this thing happened. And then if you think it was before, say before. And if you think it was after, say after.
Okay.
And we're going to see how this works. Okay. So I went into my senior year at Florida State University.
2021.
That is correct. I was 21 when I went into my senior year.
Yeah.
Great. So we see how this works?
Yeah.
I saw The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King with my family.
Brian, you know when that came out more than I would.
Before. That came out in 2004, so that would be before.
That's correct.
Wow.
Well done, well done.
This is why I would keep Brian around. Because I was just like, I don't know, I was in middle school or college maybe. I have no idea when that happened.
I appeared in Sweeney Todd at Florida State University from the College of Music, or the musical theater program.
I don't know if you did it senior year. Do you remember, Kimberly, if you did it senior year or not?
I feel like it was senior year, yeah.
So are we saying 2021?
Yes.
Okay, 2021.
That is correct. I was 21 years old.
All right, well done, well done, well done.
All right.
All right. I broke up with my girlfriend, Marianne.
Before. I think that's a before.
Yeah, I think so too.
That actually happened when I was 20.
Oh. Wow. Was that your college girlfriend?
Yes.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, ah. Uh-huh. Okay. I got on a Greyhound bus and went 2 hours to Gainesville, Florida to drink my face off out of a dark beer keg until 4 a.m, only to wake up 2 hours later to get a friend to drive me back to school to try to make it to a final on time.
I think that's before. I think you did that like sophomore year or junior year.
You're correct. That was before.
Yeah.
For legal purposes, we will not say what age I was when that happened, but it did. And I thought it was so genius because I was like, I'll leave on the bus at 3 and get there at 5. We can drink until 2. I'll sober up by 4 a.m. I'll leave by 6 and I'll totally make it on time to my test.
I mean,
I got there 5 minutes before the test was ending, and it was my singing and sight reading test.
Oh, no. So
the teacher had played through all of the stuff. But when I got there, she was like, oh, Kevin, I'm sure something happened because you've been such a good student. Just stay after the test and I'll play through everything for you again.
Damn.
The test for me
little
after
teacher's me. Pet you.
The only reason why I passed because I would have failed that.
Teacher's pet.
Okay. Okay. This one. Next one. I got my first Christmas tree of my own.
I'm going to say after. Yeah, Kimberly and I.
We just discussed your tree and you said you've had it for years, but not decades.
That is correct. It's after. After is correct. You're right. You're
well
right.
done. You're right. Well done.
We did it.
And the final one is I met Brian Plofsky.
I assume you were 21 when you met Brian.
Yes,
I know this answer. When I met Brian. Yeah, I know this answer. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, last one is, I know that was going to be the last one, but I came up with a new one. I auditioned for a show at the local region or the local Equity Theater near my hometown and was told by the person, the director, that I had a speech impediment.
Before.
Yeah.
That was after.
Wow.
I graduated from college. It was one of my first auditions, and the guy told me that I had a very hard to understand speech impediment.
Wow.
I don't understand, but then he offered to give me private coachings for a fee, and I was like, ah, okay.
Now I see.
I also had a bunch of marbles in my mouth for the audition. I don't know.
Oh, yes, of course.
And this has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay.
Wonderful.
Well, Kevin, isn't there another corner that you want to describe to us?
Yes. I want to describe to you the corner where I have been crying myself to sleep in because no, I'm screwed. So the season finale is happening. Much. We kind of like Marvel, where like the finale happens and then there's like really cool stuff that happens after that. We have some super exciting stuff for you guys because the holiday radio play that I write with Jason Pomerantz is going to be coming back. We have a new one for you. We're really excited about it. This year, am I allowed to reveal? Is it the time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this year's radio musical is called Dungeons and Drama, a Broadway-based holiday adventure. And I think you can kind of figure out where we're going. It's an adventure fantasy story, and it's going to be super fun and ridiculous. And we have some Broadway-based friend of the show favorites who are in it, plus a lot of fun new people that I love to work with, and I think that you guys should hear how incredible they are. So it's going to be super-duper fun. And that's going to be released in December. And you'll get to hear all of that. And everything will be released before the 24th of December. So you'll get all of that. Brian, do you know what actual dates we're releasing on?
Yes, I do. Oh, these will be I do. Do not worry. So part one is going to be released on the 14th. Part two is released on the 21st. Part three is on the 28th. And then, Wait, did I mess that up?
I think.
We like changed it a little.
Part one is the 14th because that's next week.
Right.
Part two is the 21st. Part three is the 24th. And then the...
That's what it is. And then afterward, you'll hear the
bar to full bartender's cut. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I know. I promise. I know.
That's what it is.
They're scheduled. I promise.
Yeah. So you're going to hear all that. We're super duper excited. And again, this year is going to be raising awareness and hopefully raising some gifts and some great stuff for Broadway bound kids. We talk about them every year. They're an incredible organization that brings arts education to communities all over New York City. And they've been really, really important to these kids during the pandemic, which was a very hard time for them to be shut away from their friends and not having this outlet that a lot of them have, which is not just so important to them creatively and artistically, but also just in their day-to-day lives and giving them a safe space to go for some of them. And so we would really, really, really love it if this holiday season, you could find it in your hearts to join us in supporting Broadway Bound Kids. And you'll be able to hear all about that on the radio play this year.
Did you say the name?
It's Dungeons and Drama, a Broadwaysted holiday adventure.
Get ready. It is great.
It's an adventure indeed.
That brings us to the end of our episode. That brings us to the end of our season. Thank you so much for joining us this season. If you enjoyed seasons, please let us know. If you didn't enjoy seasons, then like tough luck. We're going to keep doing seasons. But let us know how you'd like to improve them, how, what you'd like to hear, what you really liked, what you think you would like to hear next season. We'll let you know when we're coming back for season three. But we're so, so happy that you stuck with us. You can follow us. To find out more information, follow us, of course, on where can they follow us? I've done this over 300 times, but they can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Right. Social media. Yeah. At Broadwaysted on Twitter and Instagram. You can, of course, find us in our Facebook group where we do theater nerdy stuff. Join our Patreon where you can see lots of Patreon stuff. That's awesome. And then, of course, we're a podcast. So wherever you get your podcasts, like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, rate and review us there. 5 stars, please.
Thank you.
Cool. And then we always end with a quote. And this one is, someone to crowd you with love, someone to force you to care, someone to make you come through will always be there. As frightened as you of being alive, being alive, being alive, being alive. Thank you all so much. As we end every episode, we raise a glass and we say, cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Season 2!
Deuces!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.